Let's go, 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 White Sox. Chicago's proud of you.
Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest tonight is one of the best broadcasters in baseball. Ken Hawk Harrelson has been broadcasting White Sox baseball games on television since 1990. The man behind phrases like, he gone, stretch, and you can put it on the board. Yes, he's broadcasting on a part-time basis this season. He's doing mostly road games only, but he still finds himself at the cell from time to time as a fan. Harrelson has a great playing career in baseball and even a better one in the booth, and he's my guest tonight on The Download. Hawk, thanks so much for being here.
Justin, my pleasure, buddy.
All right, so why don't we start with the elephant in the room, which is the White Sox right now. A very tough month of May that's continued into June. Some big news today, Matt Latos designated for assignment, and also the signing of Justin Morneau, who right away goes on the DL. Hawk, what do you think about where the Sox are right now?
Well, it's pretty, for me, it's pretty easy to figure out what's happened here. You know, we came out of spring training, and the ball club was on a big high. They were playing terrific baseball, got off to a 23-10 start in April on absolutely the worst schedule I have ever seen for a major league team. April and May were just brutal. April, there was one off day. May, I believe there were two or three off days. But they went through that schedule, all those tough road games and everything else, and they were 13 over. Yeah, but it's going to rear its head. That schedule was going to rear its ugly head, and where it was going to rear it was in the bullpen.
Yeah, we've seen trouble there.
Because in April, you can't have the best bullpen in the big leagues in April and the worst in May. It just doesn't happen that way, unless there's a reason for it. One reason would be injuries, which we didn't have any. The other reason would be the schedule. And as I said, this schedule was the worst I've ever seen in my whole career. In fact, when I got, Bob Graham sent me the schedule before the season started. And I was having breakfast with my wife, and I looked at the schedule. I was going over, I said, honey, I said, this is the worst friggin' schedule I've ever seen.
And you're talking about not only the competition, but day off. There were no days off at the beginning of the season. They played straight through. There are a lot of road games. I mean, the Sox were handed a pretty difficult beginning to the season. But does that even itself out as the season goes on?
It will later on. But we're seeing the results of that April and May strain on the bullpen. Well, those guys, you know, your starters coming out of spring training, they're not going to be going a lot of innings. They're going to be going fewer innings than they will be later on in the season. So what does that mean? That means the bullpen's got to get up. And Robin had to get those guys up, and they were throwing, a lot of them were throwing, you know, four, five, six times a week in the bullpen. Not that they got in that many games, but they were throwing. And what happens is they got tired. There's no question about it. They got tired mentally, not so much physically. But it's the mental grind of getting up and throwing and getting up and throwing and getting up and throwing. And I told a friend of mine in Seattle who's a huge Sox fan, I told him, I said, this thing is going to catch us because you just can't have this kind of schedule and continue that adrenaline flow. That adrenaline flow is going to take its toll. And that's why it's a mental thing. It's not a physical thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been around the game for a long time, Hawk. I mean, how important is it, the mental stress, not just the physical stress, but the mental stress that a baseball team goes through?
Oh, that's worse than the physical. There's no question about it. All things being equal as far as injuries go, you know, which we haven't had that many at all. And, in fact, when you got Herm Schneider and his group with out there, I'll tell you what, those guys go out, he keeps them on the field. But where it does get you is mentally. And the mental stress is worse than the physical stress, believe me.
Let's talk about you in the broadcast booth. I was looking at some of the articles recently, and a lot of fans pointed to the game against the Royals not too long ago, about 2-3 weeks ago, where the Sox blew that lead late, and it really felt like a turning point. And they turned to your call of the game, and there were some that said it sounded like you were almost in tears at the end, having to actually give the score at the end of that game. Talk about your relationship to your emotions when you're calling a game and trying to be an objective broadcaster, but at the same time being obvious that you're a Sox fan.
Well, there's no question. And the biggest compliment you can pay me is being a homer, and I am. And I'm a homer who does not gild a lily. You're seeing the same thing I am, and I give fans who are watching the ball game credit for knowing it, or else they wouldn't be watching it. It's just that simple. And I broadcast the same way that I played. And people say, what's your style of broadcasting? And when I was on MLB Web Network not too long ago, they were asking, what's your style? And my style is I broadcast the same way I played. And one of the greatest, if not the greatest compliment I was ever paid was by a terrific manager named Alvin Dark, who managed, you know, Giants. And we went to the World Series, Oakland, and all that stuff for a few times. And he said of all the guys he ever managed, the guy who wanted to win a baseball game more than any other player he ever managed was Hawk Harrelson. And that to me was a tremendous compliment because that's the way I was brought up and that's the way I played the game. And I broadcast the same way. I want the Sox to win. And when they get beat, that's one thing. That's baseball. You know, Justin, you're going to win 60, you're going to lose 60. It's what you do with those other 42.
Right.
And if you waste those 42, that's what pisses me off. It really does. When that game is over, if we beat ourselves, there's not one player in that locker room who's more upset than I am. Not one. And when I'm driving home after that ball game, there's not one player leaving that ballpark who's more upset than I am. And when we win, it's just the opposite. I'm happy because of the fact. Now, in that Kansas City series, I've never seen a series like that.
Really? In all your time, you've never seen?
In 56 years, I've never seen a series like that. I've never seen a series where we had substantial leads late in the ball game and then blew them.
Yeah.
And the one of the reasons being is because the bullpen was tired. Look how many runs we gave up in that series late in the ball game. So it all reverts back to me, but I understand that it's going to stop.
Let me ask you, I'm fascinated on when the change happened, because when you talk about baseball announcing and you think of some of the greats like Vin Scully or Harry Carey and yourself, I mean, there is this homerism to it. There is this, hey, go team, go home team. When did baseball announcing make a move, in your estimation, to the middle where the announcers are much more objective and they don't show their emotions and they're not being as colorful as some of the people before?
I think it started back in the late 70s, early 80s, maybe middle 80s, that it started going in the direction that you just alluded to. You had guys back in those days who, let's say that compared to today's announcers, were unique.
Right.
Like you mentioned, Vin and Harry and Joe Buck and those guys. They wanted their clubs to win. I want the White Sox to win. And I don't care who knows it. And I'll tell you one thing about it, too, is a lot of times I have players on the White Sox team who are really pissed off at me because I get on them and I get on the club the way they're playing. But I don't care. I don't tell them how to play, and they don't tell me what to say.
Well, that's something that's been in your career, both for as an announcer being critical of your team, but also critical of the umpires or critical of the league. You've been one of the more outspoken announcers where you have been critical and you paid the price. You know, the MLB has said, yo, Hawk, back up. But talk about that relationship you have first with the team. Your booth partner, Steve Stone, went through that with the Cubs where, you know, they wanted him gone because Dusty Baker in those days. But talk about that relationship and how you have to play that dance when it comes to criticizing the home team.
There's no dancing. There's really not any dancing. I'm going to say what I feel like I have to say at the time, because my job is not to help the team. My job is to inform the viewer on what's going on, whether it be positive or negative. And that's the way I approach it, and I always have. And I got some advice early on in my career back in 1975 from Kurt Gowdy, who was, you know, a Hall of Fame announcer, great announcer. And he called me up one day, says, Hawk, I want to come see you at the ballpark. I want to talk to you. This is my first year in 75 after I've been announcing a couple of months. So he came to the ballpark. He said, look, I'm going to give you some advice that you'll never forget, and it'll be the best advice you ever had. Don't try to please everybody, because you can't. And especially in a two-team city. He said, if you ever go, you know, to New York or Chicago, any of those two-team cities, you can't please everybody. So, and then about, I don't know, it was 3 weeks later, Howard Cosell called me up, came to the ballpark. He said, Hawk, it was eerie, Justin. It was like surreal. He said, I'm going to give you some of the best advice you ever get. Don't try to please everybody. Because you can't do it. He said, guys who try to please everybody don't last very long. And they're right.
They're right. You get it twice. They're right, right? You got to listen, yeah. Right?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to broadcast the game, and I'm going to tell you what's going on. I'm going to tell you the psyche of that particular game, and I'm going to tell you what's going on. I'm going to tell you who screwed up, if it was a mental error or whatever it may be. And sometimes now, as you know, being a Sox fan, sometimes silence is the best communicator going.
There's a lot of silent moments in the last couple of weeks. I'll say that.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. There, in that Kansas City, that last game was just, you know, I've never seen a series. I've seen a game like that.
Right.
I think we were trailing in 1967. We were trailing the Angels by nine runs, going to the bottom of the ninth inning. We tied the ball game up and won it in 10.
That's baseball, right?
It's baseball. That's going to happen. But the way we did it, you know, it hurt me. I felt bad for the bullpen guys. I really did, because I knew they were tired. They had been up, throwing a lot. And it's a different game today. It's a different culture. And people who tell you the game has not changed, they don't know what they're talking about.
How so?
It's a six-inning game today. And thank goodness that Chris Sale had those three complete games. Well, that bullpen would have been more wore out.
Yeah, right.
But it's a different game today. You got to understand that it's a six-inning game. And get to the seventh inning, here they come. You got the seventh inning guy, you got the eighth inning guy, you got the ninth inning guy. And I saw this coming about 20 years ago, maybe 24, 25 years ago. It was getting to be a bullpen game. The mantra when I played was, you're only going to go as far as your starting pitching will take you. The mantra today is, you're only going to go far as your bullpen will take you.
Right.
And if your bullpen doesn't get it done, I don't care how good the starter goes, because he's only going to go, you know, 6-7 innings tops. You're going to lose.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. The two rules in baseball, first of all, you got to catch the ball. That's number one. Second rule is, don't mess with Joe West. And then you got to have a good bullpen. If you can go by those rules, you're probably going to win.
You're going to win. That's great. Hawk, I've noted, I mean, obviously this year you're doing the part-time schedule, doing road games. It's tough to come in and out from where you live in Indiana to do the home games. But let's talk about how long you're going to be doing this. I've seen a couple little nods in newspaper articles. Is this Hawk's last hurrah? Is this his last season? And I've also seen you say, and you know, hey, I hope to die in the booth. So is this your last hurrah?
No. I told Jerry last year after the season was over that I was going to cut back the schedule. He said, you know, and I told him I wanted to do all road games to get rid of this 200-mile-a-day drive, you know, and living in the eastern zone and working in the central zone.
Yeah.
For night games, that just didn't work out too well.
Right.
So he was happy that he wanted me 2 years ago to get my schedule cut back so I could cut out some of these, you know, these 200-mile-a-day trips. So I told him, I said, look, I'm going to try it. If I don't like it, this is going to be my last year. I said, if I like it, I'll just keep going. He said, well, do what you want to do.
So do you like it?
I love it.
All right.
I was at my grandson's game yesterday. I was able last week to go down to Warsaw and watch them both play in a tournament. You know, I got a 12-year-old and 9-year-old, and I'm not going to miss that. So this gives me the opportunity now. And my wife, Eris, it gives us the opportunity, options that we haven't had. You know, we've been married almost 43 years, and it gives us options that we never had. It gives me certainly options to see my grandchildren play, and I'm not going to blow that.
Hawk Harrelson is the play-by-play announcer for the Chicago White Sox, longtime one of the best broadcasters in baseball. Hawk, thanks so much for taking some time out, and we hope to have you again here on the download.
All right, well, listen, I'm not trying to walk you off a ledge. I'm just saying this thing's going to end, and we are going to be fine.
All right, that's what we like to hear.
All right, Justin.
All right.